in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
Well, the internet, it is a buzzing.
I'm cool as ever,
she's it is a internetting. Man, yesterday you could not open up any social media. You couldn't open up your text chain. You could not communicate with people around here without two words coming up. Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons' name was mentioned yesterday. I this is a guess. I obviously don't have accurate numbers on this, but like 11 zillion times.
Yeah, give or take.
Yeah, exactly. A few.
Give or take.
Sometimes people just said Micah. So it's so interesting to be in this space, right? Because we have been watching, we being the collective NFL fan base, the Micah Parsons situation in Dallas devolve for, it feels like forever, but at least the last month or so. And all of a sudden, yesterday, thanks to some internet reports, the Packers are right smack dab in the middle of the Micah Parsons drama. It all started with a Pretty Ricky tweet. Although it sounds like this Reddit post was before the Pretty Ricky tweet, and if they were unrelated, then that was, whoa, a little bit of smoke. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire thing.
I mean,
you think the timeline is different?
Well, no, I'm just the whole Reddit thing. Like the whole, did you read the Reddit thing?
It did.
It's
17 degrees of separation.
Yeah. Like, well, you know, Ferris was throwing up at 29 flavors last night. I think it's pretty serious. That's the way I read the Reddit post. As much as I give Josh a hard time for being a disciple of Pretty Ricky, like I give more credence to that than the Reddit report.
You give more credence to Pretty Ricky than the report that said, and I quote, "I hesitate to even post this, but this kind of stuff has come to fruition for others on Reddit before. This is third-hand knowledge, so it could be nothing, but I live in the Dallas area, and a friend of mine is next-door neighbors with one of the Cowboys team therapists. Supposedly, he did some work with Micah Parsons today, and word is the Packers have a deal in place, just need him to agree to the contract offer, which he says averages $45 million a year."
That's how it works. Strenuously object? That's how it works, huh?
I do.
Did you see what I tweeted or texted you?
Tweeted.
This is so stupid.
That would be. By the way, if Chewy ever were to get Twitter, he would sign up, send one tweet with a bunch of Z's, and then delete the app.
Yes.
That would be the one tweet.
Who is the most reliable source out of all this so far?
Wait, hold on. When you say all of this, are we talking about everything
garbage,
that happened yesterday?
Trolls, all of this. Toads, all. Who is the most reliable who said something yesterday?
Oh, the brother.
Thank you. I can't stress this enough. Jerry's not trading Micah, LOL. And I'm damn sure it wouldn't be to the Packers, LOL. Micah might be their missing piece. Whatever. That's a little more reliable than the assistant to the assistant masseuse that was giving him... a calf massage.
But then talk to his neighbor who then's got a pal.
Exactly.
Who then ran to Reddit.
Far be it for me to defend anyone on Reddit. They got the Sammy Watkins signing correct, and they also got the Davante Adams trade correct.
Oh, I see what's happening here.
It's
Joshy,
happened
you're
before.
Collecting
yeah.
evidence.
I've never seen him so excited in my life yesterday. He was just like
because here's the thing. Like, Josh is one of the most rational people I know.
Mm-hmm.
And he has become one of the most irrational people I know in the last 12 hours.
Well, and listen, Joshy, I think, to be honest with you, you represent a portion of the Packers fan base. While I see it every single day on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, if you want to get in with the show, and on the YouTube stream, in the YouTube comments on ESPN Milwaukee, and people are like, why are we talking about this? These players aren't available. They're not going to be a member of the Packers. Yesterday was the first time where I saw people who have been traditionally in that space, who have been traditionally on that side of the fence, guys, making the leap, jumping over, getting their hopes up, and being excited about this as a possibility.
Did you hear about the other big trade that's going to take place, I guess, today or tomorrow? They're trading Mizorowski to the Cubs. You didn't hear that? Oh, I should have put it out on the internet. I mean, come on. I mean, do I absolutely hope it happens. I hope it happens. But it's like, do you think the Cowboys, how crazy do you think Cowboys fans would go?
Oh, I mean.
They would go insane.
Honestly.
And Jerry knows that.
Honestly, it would be a close second of the best things about the trade, of how crazy the Cowboy fans would go. A close second of my favorite things that would be happening if this trade went through.
So far be it for us to, you know, pee in Joshy's Cheerios over there, or any Packers fans who are sitting here going, well, it seems like there's a little more smoke here, circumstantial evidence, things are starting to point to something. I do believe Jerry Jones will not be trading Micah Parsons. As messy as this thing has gotten, as distant as these two sides seem, I don't think he will risk any element of his reputation being attached to trading away a player of Micah Parsons' caliber. And guys, part of it, as we sit here and collect evidence to support our various positions, was Jerry Jones saying that thing he said about the game against the Packers a few years ago and how it essentially, paraphrasing here, ripped their hearts out? Like, there are hurt feelings. There are strong feelings. There is a situation here where I can't even imagine Jerry Jones considering doing a deal with the team that was responsible for handing them what he called their worst loss essentially ever.
The only thing I can think to even compare, if Micah Parsons were to be traded to, is when Khalil Mack got traded. And that was from a team from out west. It was the Raiders, who then traded him to an AFC team, sending him to an NFC team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, again, you start thinking about it logically. All right, Jerry did just say last week, we've got 3 years to figure this out. Kind of going, hey, well, he's got him under contract this year, and then I can franchise him 2 years after that. So we've got 3 years to figure out this contract. So he seems like he's pretty dug in. And then, okay, would he want to trade him to a team that they're going to play in week four?
Yeah.
Like, it's the fourth game of the season, Packers, Cowboys in Dallas.
But
like, would Jerry want to do that? I that's... As crazy as the old man seems, I don't know if he's that crazy yet.
So hold on.
What I do believe is the Packers have put a package together for him.
And that's just what I was going to say. Yes. I was going to say, this is.
I do believe.
To me,
that.
This is the power of and. Like, two things can be true. The Packers can have kicked the tires or said, hey, listen, if this thing is going all the way sideways and you guys cannot come to some sort of amicable conclusion, we would be very interested in, you know, taking them off your hands, and here's what we would do. But I want to be clear on that. They can't propose any such thing to Micah Parsons or his people because he's under contract with the Cowboys, and that would be tampering.
They can call Little Ricky and say, hey, put this all over the internet.
Pretty Ricky.
Pretty Ricky?
Right. Buster.
Hey, look, I'm sure there's a...
You're talking to one of his top disciples over here.
I'm sure there's a Little Ricky out there somewhere, okay?
There's a Little Richard.
I wouldn't discount the fact that they leaked it or whatever they did and let the people run with it, because it's only going to help them in the end.
So, very good point by you, because I do think that there is some strategy at play here as well. I think that, you know, we cannot ignore the fact that Jordan Love, quarterback of your Green Bay Packers, is also represented by the same group/agent as Micah Parsons. So there is some crossover there. We have loved Jordan Love with Kay Adams and these sort of things. We have loved those conversations. And it certainly seems as though Packers players would be very interested in acquiring a player of Micah Parsons' caliber.
Well, so who wouldn't?
Exactly. When it's what teams would be interested in Micah Parsons? Oh, I don't know, all of them.
We would be, as a team here. Like, I would love Micah Parsons to be sitting right next to us between me and Jen. He's got a pretty good podcast.
But I think the thing that everybody has to just keep considering is, no matter how crazy you think Jerry Jones is, no matter how old you think he is, or, you know, leaning into, you know, senile, I just can't imagine a world where he has considered this, where he is open to this, where he is going to stake his reputation on being the guy who trades away Micah Parsons, especially to an NFC contender.
But did you see the Cowboys are kind of setting themselves up to challenge this, because I guess Parsons, did you see Parsons had an MRI on his back and it said it came back perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
I mean, look, this is going to get ugly. I think this is going to get uglier before something happens. Yeah, because are the Cowboys setting themselves up to, hey, you're healthy enough to play, you have to play. But also, the NFLPA, if they actually ever get off their ass, has a pretty big grievance they could file against Jerry for refusing to negotiate with an agent.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's a pretty big no-no for the way that Jerry's also handling this. And I don't know if that's something that Micah Parsons is trying to leverage of, hey, we won't file a grievance if you actually trade me.
But Jerry also...
I don't know if that's something that he is doing, if he's trying to do, no idea.
Jerry also seems like the kind of GM that's going to say, good, I'll just franchise it, like they did to Le'Veon Bell, and let you rot.
Well, he said explicitly that, while also out of the same side of his mouth saying, well, if the package was good enough, we'd consider it. So, he's Jerry.
But the other thing about Jerry is it seems like over the years, Steven, his son, has had more and more influence. Like, there's the story out there from when Johnny Manziel was available. Jerry saw Johnny. He was like, oh, I want Johnny Manziel. And Steven Jones went, no, you're not doing that. We're not going to turn that card in. And ultimately, they did obviously draft somebody else.
But this could also be brilliant by the Packers. Because the Packers might be sitting there going, there's no way he's going to trade him. But let's throw 45 up there to just kill him with the cap. Because who's the highest paid D.N. right now?
T.J. Watt.
At what?
41.
41.
Oh, 41? So that could be it. Like, hey.
By the way, just.
Let's help Micah out and drive the price up a little bit.
And I understand, you know, this is how it works in the NFL. The prices continue to go up for contracts. Cap continues to rise because all the TV money and the days the NFL invents to play on and then sell them off to all the different streamers. But $45 million would be the same annual average value that Patrick Mahomes is playing for. Just feel like that's the type of money we're talking about. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes' money for a non-quarterback.
But less than Jared Goff's getting paid this season. So you've got that going
for
you.
Okay, also true.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to the phone lines. People are talking. People are chatting. The Carbless Talk and Text line lighting up as well. We'll get to some of your reaction, but let's start with Mo in Illinois. Good morning, Mo. Your thoughts on the rumor mill and the interneting yesterday.
Hey, good morning, guys. Jen, I'm a lot like you. You know, last night I'm trying to get myself to bed, but I can't help but be a little excited hearing all those rumors. Now, do I think he's going to end up on the Packers? I don't, and I don't even want to get my hopes up, which sadly is too late for that. But I guess my...
Welcome, brother.
I guess my biggest frustration is dealing with Brian Gutekunst. And for the longest time, you know, I've been very critical of him. You know, I think he's an okay general manager, not great. And I think the reason why a lot of Packers fans want Micah Parsons, not just because he's Micah Parsons, but if we look at last year, the glaring weakness on this team was the pass rush. And what I saw from Brian Gutekunst this offseason, I'm kind of questioning if he really addressed that group. Because if you're going to address that group with rookies and guys who have not proven themselves, I just feel like we're going to find ourselves in a situation again this year where we're talking about the lack of pass rush. Like, if I'm hearing Lucas Van Ness, you know, he's having a great training camp. I'm not buying it until I see it in the actual game. So it's like we're banking on potential when I wish that Gutekunst would just go out and get a proven guy so then he could sprinkle in that young talent with proven veteran talent. So that's all I'm saying personally. That's my biggest frustration. I just wish he could be a lot like Howie Roseman in Philadelphia where even when they already have talent, they go above and beyond and he goes and gets another guy.
Mo, appreciate the call.
I just will say something about, and I understand the frustration with Goody specifically at that position. It is really, really hard to address that position externally. Because guys that you are going to say are proven pass rushers, somebody that you think can go after the quarterback and get him, they typically don't hit the market. Like when the Packers got Za'Darius Smith, like, he wasn't a proven commodity. Nope. They were doing some projecting there that, hey, if we give this guy more snaps, he can become a double-digit guy, and that's exactly what Za'Darius became in his time in Green Bay. But those guys are hard to come. I mean, we saw it this year with all the different pass. But we saw it. Are they, though, Chew?
Sure. Who'd the Rams get? Rams got a hell of a player last year.
In the draft?
In the draft?
Yeah.
Jared Verse in the draft.
Yes.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it has to be. You have to find those guys in the draft. I'm saying,
yes,
like, free agent-wise, trade-wise. Because all the big names we saw, Yeah. Literally every big pass rushing game outside of Micah Parsons ended up signing an extension with their team.
Even though this would be a great move by Goody, all it's doing is highlighting his mistakes.
Yes, and I think that that's something that we should continue talking about. So I want to be clear on this, guys, right? There are internet rumors out there. There are different people who are claiming that the Packers are in on Micah Parsons, that there is a contract offer that there has that they have talked about. Here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, I think we are all in alignment. It would be incredible. It would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Joshy is probably the furthest along the line of, well, guys, hear me out here.
He's already bought a Micah Parsons jersey.
But most of us believe this will not happen. Most of us are sitting here saying Jerry Jones is not going to allow this to happen. And it is good due diligence by the Packers if, and that's a big if, they have kicked the tires on this, if they have put together the parameters of a deal. But I don't believe that this is going to happen for those who are struggling with the comprehension this morning. Let's go out to the phone lines. Tony Wendorf on the line, 800-990-3776.
On a Wendorf Wednesday.
Tony Wendorf is brought to you by Tony Wendorf. Hello, Tony.
Tony, do you want Chewy to read your website?
Oh, you know, Chewy, I love the live reads. I figured on a Wendorf Wednesday, let's give it a run here.
I got one right here, buddy.
Guys, oh man, listen, Micah, he's not coming. Let's not be silly. We would all love it, right? It's not happening, though. Am I totally off on this?
I can't imagine.
What would
actually
you put
happens.
A percentage on it? 20%?
No. Way lower than that.
Like a half of a percent.
I'm higher than that.
Yeah.
I'm higher than that, too.
I don't think so. Listen, if we got to give away some first, it's not like we've exactly hit on our first round picks, slam dunks for the last decade. But if we can give away some first and go get Micah, I say we go do it. But I just don't. I mean, Brian Gutekunst is about as risk-assuming as the oak tree in my backyard.
But, Tony, do you think he would be willing to take more risk? Because, again, I don't think his seat is hot, but I think it's heating up because the new president did not give him a contract extension and he only has 2 years left.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Jerry Jones doing Jerry Jones things, right? It's heating up. It's heating up. Every ounce of my being would love to see it happen. I mean, you got a guy, a pass rusher in his prime of his career. I just don't know that's going to happen.
I appreciate that, Tony. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate you calling in on a Wendorf Wednesday. We will talk to Adam Schefter a little bit later in the show. Look, I have no problem with people getting their hopes up. I really don't. It affects me 0%. If you want to spend the next 24 hours, 48 hours, hell, week, if they can't resolve this thing in Dallas, thinking that Micah Parsons is coming to Green Bay, more power to you. Absolutely. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Jerry Jones is going to make that move. I don't think he's going to pull the trigger. And I also don't really want the Packers to, quote unquote, overpay for Micah Parsons.
I don't know if there's a thing as overpaying for Micah Parsons. The limit doesn't exist.
We got time. We got a lot of things to talk about still.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to that. 800-990-3776. Does the limit exist? Is there a price too steep for a player of Micah Parsons' caliber? Let us know. 800-990-3776 here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We're going to talk Micah Parsons this morning. We're going to talk to Adam Schefter this morning. Hopefully Adam Schefter has some insight for us. Hopefully he can give us some direction as well. That is all coming up here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
It is a Wednesday here, a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at Tony Wendorf & Associates, First Weber Real Estate Services. They believe in the human side of real estate. Faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win. No matter if it's buying or selling, get started today at windorfteam.firstweber.com.
Yeah, let's go!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How do you get to 10 in NFL in the football game? How do you do that?
You can have 5 safeties.
That's a great point.
Which would also be a great endorsement for Derek Carr.
Two field goals, two safeties.
Two field goals, two
also
safeties.
Also a great endorsement for the quarterback. Yes. Continue. What else do we have?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Just let me cry.
Hey, baseball fans, if you want to hit a Pottawatomie Sportsbook before a home game but you need a ride, well, rely on Pottawatomie's Game Day Shuttle. Make any purchase in the Sportsbook or Same Day Sports Bet. You'll get a wristband and a seat on the shuttle. They begin an hour before first pitch. Return shuttles run nonstop for 1 hour after the game. For more information, you can visit Pottawatomie.com. Bet above the rest. 800-990-3776. That's the Carbliss talk and text line, and that's where we find Brandon in Tulsa this morning to talk about Micah Parsons and the internetting yesterday. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I got two questions. First one, when Goody does something like this, do you think this is kind of a way of saying he feels he's on maybe not a hot seat, but the status quo isn't good enough? And with Ed Policy coming in, he's got to do something to get this team further along because he may not have 3 to 4 years from now. Second question is, Chewy, what does this do to a mindset for like Rashawn Gary? Do players see this stuff and think, well, that's the NFL, business is business? Or is this going to mess with his head saying, oh, you're not happy with me, you know, going into the season? Appreciate taking a call.
Well, yeah, I think it's obviously the you're not happy with me, but that can work in his favor. You know, light a fire under his ass and get it going, because Micah Parsons, if he does come here, would take a lot of pressure off of Rashawn Gary. To your first question, I think a lot of it has to do with Reggie White.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I think they see what Reggie did for this franchise. Brett alone was not good enough, and I think they knew that. They knew the defensive side of the ball had to be much better. And even though it's not very similar, because Reggie was a free agent, back in the day, they still were considered to break the bank to go out and get him, especially for Green Bay, small market team, because the cap wasn't what it is today. That was a huge move. Huge. So I think they're looking at it that as the model, you know, and this would, like we've talked about it. Micah Parsons comes here. If they're 7 in the power rankings, we said what, 4? I think that makes them a legitimate contender. I don't think they're a legitimate contender right now. They're a contender. They're not legitimate. Micah Parsons them a legitimate contender.
If Micah Parsons were to come here, it's what, 3-4 years of Super Bowl or bust?
Yes.
For the next 3 to 4 years, it's Super Bowl or bust.
And to the point that the caller made about Goody being on the hot seat, something like that sort of solidifies your role, doesn't it? Don't you feel a little more comfortable if you're Brian Gutekunst and you go out and get a Micah Parsons? Doesn't that make your job feel a little more secure, Joshy?
I think absolutely, and I think there's certainly a pressure there. And I can't get out of my head, and I'm searching for it, and I'm struggling. But Brian Gutekunst was at the lectern, and he said, it's time we started winning championships around here. And if this move wouldn't mean that's exactly what they're trying to do, and certainly there's still a chance it doesn't happen. We're dealing with Jerry Jones here. You got to massage his ego. We'll also think he's the winner. Like, you got to do all of that. But there is a degree of this that even them being in this invested into it, where the rumors are spreading the way they are, would tell me there is a really serious change or approach there where they think they need to, as Chewy said, end up in that serious contender territory.
The problem is typically in a trade like this, you'd like to get another defensive end back in the trade because they have to backfill that position now.
Yeah.
Problem is Rashawn Gary's not tradable because no one wants that contract.
Well, but also there would be some money that accelerated against the cap for the Packers should they trade him, making an extension more difficult.
And then Lucas Van Ness hasn't shown enough to, I mean, even though he doesn't cost a lot.
I mean, he would be the only player that you could trade at that position.
It's still going to be 3 first-round picks.
Rolling into the question we asked you about, is there a price too steep for Micah Parsons? Let's say that this thing actually is legitimate. Let's say that the Packers have sort of talked about what a package would include. Sam in the 920 says, I would give up Clark, Gary, Lucas Van Ness, and 2 firsts for Micah Parsons. It's steep.
Eight-man football.
Worth a shot. Petition the league.
Got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam Schefter coming up next, and we will talk to Adam Schefter, of course, about Micah Parsons and the Green Bay Packers. Stick around.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
I would just say that right now I think all options are on the table. I think that they went through that trade thing and they talked to teams. And it's not like those talks are shut down, but they didn't go anywhere. And when they don't go anywhere, it opens up the possibility that he could be back.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island. Also brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Real Estate Services, the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com.
So the Dallas Cowboys take the field in about a week, and I'm not even sure if that's the deadline for all of this drama in Dallas between Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons' camp. But for the latest, we, of course, go to our friend Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. Sorry, having a little bit of problems with my phone here. It keeps falling over, so my apologies.
Well, I love looking at the palm of your hand there on the old stream. We're
trying to get this worked out here a little bit. We have a little bit of a different angle.
Adam, I love it. So we have obviously been talking about how the internet has been interneting, and there have been people who are saying that the Packers have put a package together, a contract together for Micah Parsons. What are you hearing on that? Do you think the Packers are kicking the tires on a Micah Parsons trade?
I think that they would love to be interested. I think they're monitoring things. I think that they probably checked in on Trey Hendrickson just to see what it was, would be my guess. And I could see that. Now, the whole question is, there's interest across the league in Micah, but I don't think anybody feels right now like Dallas is going to realistically trade him. That's the bigger issue, is that people don't feel like Dallas is going to make a move. Now, we'll see if that changes or not.
Adam, did you hear anything more about the meeting with Schottenheimer? Because from what I read, it sounded like it went fairly well. They're talking about having to ramp him up for the start of the season because he missed so much camp. You hear anything more? I mean, because that sounded like a fairly friendly meeting.
Well, I think it was an hour-long meeting, which tells you that clearly there were some issues at work, right? And after that meeting, basically Brian Schottenheimer said he was not given any assurances that Micah Parsons would be able to play in the opener. And that's all I need to know. I think in that hour, without knowing what happened, I'm going to guess that Brian Schottenheimer said, look, Micah, I love you. I want you here. You're an unbelievable player. I can't have you laying on the table during games. Mm-hmm. Okay? There's a certain standard. You know, that's unacceptable. Okay? I need you to be around here. I need to be invested. I understand you got to do what you got to do, but there's certain things that just aren't possible. Right? And so I think that that's probably a part of that conversation. What else they talked about, I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, it's been the story of the summer. It continues to be the story. We'll see where it goes. They haven't had any contract discussions, to my knowledge, in months. So that's where it's at right now.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Real Estate Services, help people make their own big moves every day. If the Cowboys do reach a point where they, okay, we're just going to have to trade him. This is what we have to do. And they have to trade Micah Parsons. Do you think that they would try to trade him to an AFC team so they wouldn't have to worry about him? Or would they be open to trading him to an NFC team?
Well, I think an NFC team would have to give up more. I think they ideally would prefer to trade him to an AFC team. But that doesn't mean, you know, for your Packers that they couldn't get it. I'm sure they could if they had the right offer and Micah could do a deal with them. Yeah, I think that wouldn't be an issue. So AFC would be the preference, but I don't think it's that, you know, it's that. And by the way, like, you got to get to the point where the Cowboys are even trading him. And I don't know that I have not heard they're at that point. Okay, so we're really getting ahead of ourselves here. Well, but okay, it's fun to talk about.
Where would it have to get to? Because, I mean, I know Jerry went on, I didn't even know Michael Irvin had his own YouTube show until Jerry showed up on it last week. But he said, well, I've got 3 years to figure this out, obviously alluding to this year's contract, franchise tag, franchise tag. If that's Jerry's mentality, I'm guessing they're a long ways off from getting to a point where they think they have to trade him, right?
Well, that's the feeling around the league when you talk to other teams. Like, every other team would love to put together a package for Micah, but I haven't spoken to anybody who thinks that they're serious about trading him yet.
Adam Schefter hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. So the next domino that we're discussing here is, of course, how we talked in the offseason about how Ed Policy did not give extensions to Matt LaFleur and to Brian Gutekunst. So there is at least they're trying to create a sense of urgency. They're saying, you know, you got to put up or shut up. It's time. Have you been hearing that there is any additional pressure, that the Packers front office feels any additional pressure after Ed Policy did not give them those extensions?
You know, I think Ed probably has to come in, I'm going to guess, and assess where everything's at. I mean, he knows, but he's still got to run things his way, figure things out how he wants to do things. Do we know how many years Goody has left right now?
I think it's two.
Because Policy said that he's not a fan of doing lame duck deals, but also he wasn't going to give an extension. So 2 years left for both Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur.
By the way, some coaches absolutely get extensions with 2 years left, but a lot of times teams wait till they have a year left, and some even go deeper than that. So I just think he's just not getting out ahead of himself when he's just taking over and he's figured things out. Like, why do we have to give extensions today? We could do this a year from now, right? If they have a great year, happy to take care of them and reward them. It's not like the price is going way up. If they don't, I have the option that if we feel like we need to make changes, we could. I just think it keeps everything open for him, and he's not ready to commit to anything right away. Like, to do that right away when you're stepping in, he didn't hire them, although he was involved in the process of hiring them. So let's just get a feel for everything, and we can extend them in time or not.
Adam, Aaron Rodgers did an interview with Bill Huber, local Sports Illustrated reporter, and one of the first questions he asked was, and I'm talking Aaron, asked the reporter, Bill, he said, what's the availability of Romeo Doubs? Have you heard anything? Is Doubs?
I don't think he's available.
No.
You know, he's had a great camp, and I think that they are very pleased with where he's at. And if you go back to last year, when he had the incident, I believe it was in L.A., like, he's from that area, you know. And he's overcome so much adversity to get to where he is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of it was related to that, or whatever the situation was, where being back where he's from. But the reports that I've gotten from the people I've spoken to, they are really pleased with Romeo Doubs this summer.
So, Adam, the big news happened yesterday, and I think a lot of people found out because of you and the ESPN notification that was pushed out. How was it to be doing what you do, but then one of the stories you're breaking is a Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift announcement, and then the sports world finding out about an engagement because of you?
Well, I didn't break the story. They announced the story, but okay. I was able to break that news to many people who hadn't heard or hadn't seen their post yet, because about a minute or two after they posted it, I was aware of that and was able to post that news rather quickly. And look, when we're sending out alerts about Tommy DeVito and Tajay Spears, I just figure, you know what? Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce is every bit as big as Tommy DeVito and Tajay Spears on this NFL Final Cutdown Day. So I did send out the alert. By the way, I sent out an alert when a new Pope was chosen, too. And I figured, why not? I figured that was a big enough deal. And there were people who were like, I can't believe I just got an ESPN alert that the new Pope has been chosen. And that's how I learned about it. So sign up for the ESPN alerts right now. Sign up for Adam Schefter's ESPN alerts. And you never know whether you're going to find that about a new Pope or Travis Taylor and Travis Swift and or
Maybe he takes her last name. I don't know. I mean, she makes more money.
Be sick. Adam, you have to
tell us. Can you imagine the number of 87 Swift jerseys that would be sold if he changed his name?
Imagine the anger from a certain portion of the population. Adam, you have to let us in on this, though, because you are the ultimate insider. Did you know that they were engaged? Apparently, this happened right after they taped the podcast, the New Heights podcast, that, of course, broke all of those records, that broke the internet. Were you aware that this had happened before you tweeted it out yesterday?
We spent a lot of time with Jason Kelce, Monday Night Countdown last week. A lot of time.
I hear you loud and clear.
I didn't say yay or nay. I just said we spent a lot of time.
Didn't say anything. Who said
Are you expected to be invited?
No. I don't think they want paparazzi there.
Adam, biggest surprises yesterday from cut down day. Obviously, it's always a tough day for a lot of these guys who have worked really hard to continue their NFL career. But biggest surprises around the league for you?
Well, there's always a lot of names that are interesting. I'll take it away that you probably might not think. Like, I'm watching Hard Knocks last night, and I see some of these Bills making plays like Charlo, the linebacker, and Zach Davidson, the tight end, and neither one of them made it. They both look great on Hard Knocks. But another interesting thing to me is that as good as the Detroit Lions have been in recent years, and they've been really good, as of this morning, after trading Tim Patrick to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a six-round draft pick, the Detroit Lions currently have 49 players on their roster. Wow. I don't know that I've ever heard of a really good team carrying 49 players into the final waiver, or not the final waiver, but the big waiver of the season. Like, so does that mean the Lions are going to be claiming four players? They're going to be signing players off. Like, what are they doing? It's just, and they obviously have a plan. They're not just winging it, but I just find that to be very odd and interesting. I've never heard of a team, no less a great team, carrying four players fewer than the 53 mandated players into that huge waiver the day after final cuts. You ever heard of that, Joey?
No. The only thing that comes to mind is when Minnesota missed the timing
at the draft.
At the draft.
And everybody was sprinting to get their picks in to get ahead of them.
No, that is bizarre. Like, but I remember back in the day, cuts used to be, there used to be huge names that got cut back in the day. Just doesn't happen anymore.
Teams struggle to get down to 53. Like, and every now and then I've heard of a team having 52 players, and they do that to, you know, give themselves some flexibility to be able to go sign another player. And then, lo and behold, the Detroit Lions, the vaunted Lions, they're really good. 49.
That's weird.
That's amazing to me.
Last thing before we let you go, Adam, the Packers once again have the youngest roster in the NFL. We believe this is 3 years running now. And go ahead. What were we going to say?
No, it's just very, like, at some point they're going to grow up, right? Like, at some point they have to shave and whatnot.
No. We think that, I mean, Brian Gutekunst, it seems like this is a priority for him to have a very young team, keep them cheap, mm-hmm. and then be able to, you know, have them grow under his tutelage or the team's tutelage, whatever. But at some point, I guess my question to you is, how much should teams be valuing veteran presences? Because it feels like being the youngest team hasn't paid off entirely. They haven't won a Super Bowl. They haven't been to an NFC championship game.
Jen, you want the best players, whether they're young or old. And it's been that they've had young rosters. And if you could sprinkle in veterans like a Josh Jacobs, then you go do that. But sometimes it doesn't lend itself to that. It's not, I don't know if they've intentionally set out to have the youngest roster in the NFL year after year after year. I don't think that's been the plan. I would bet it's just kind of happened that way. That the players that they have believed in, acquired, drafted, whatever it is, developed, they're young and younger than most teams. And it just kind of worked out that way. I don't think that there's a plan. Plus, young talent is usually cheap talent because they're on rookie contracts. So that enables you to go pay Jordan Love and Rashawn Gary and some of the other players that they are playing. But your goal is to build the best roster possible, whatever that is. And again, I just think that that's – more an odd coincidence than anything else.
All right, Adam Schefter, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. You have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great Labor Day week, and we'll talk next week, day before the opening game. How about that?
Tease.
You guys get excited about that, did you?
Yeah, season opens in a week.
Ooh.
How is that not exciting?
No, the season opens in 3 days.
Well, college.
What's your problem with college?
It's not as good as the NFL.
Yeah, it is. It's much better.
Football isn't.
You don't want it perfect all the time. Right?
You like the sloppiness?
A little bit.
That's your mantra, isn't it? We don't want it perfect all the time.
Our conversations with Adam Schefter each and every week brought to you by the Island Resort Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com. Book your total experience today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
have.
Eight.
Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost. 75309
on 94.5 ESPN.
If you're buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Bank helps guide you every step of the way. While my family and I look for a second home, we know that Great Midwest Bank will take care of us, give us the best options. So when you're ready for your next big life decision, you can get fast and flexible mortgage pre-approvals straight from Great Midwest Bank's experienced and, most importantly, local loan officers. From start to finish, bank with confidence at Great Midwest Bank, your simply local equal housing lender. See all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com. I can feel you breathing. You guys have any idea how many teeth a dog has?
A lot. More than humans.
More than people?
Yes.
How many do people have? I don't know how many teeth people have.
32?
32.
Is that with wisdom teeth or not? Because then it'd be
without.
There's definitely a joke in there. dogs apparently have 42 teeth. I had no idea. But I learned about this very quickly yesterday, guys, because we took our dog to the vet. He had to have oral surgery. He had to have some teeth removed. They were kind of rotten in the back. And listen, if you're not brushing your dog's teeth, guys, start now, okay? Because we weren't brushing.
What?
Yeah, I know. You brush your dog's teeth?
We have dental treats that he chews on that keeps him nice and clean.
So just so you know, we did that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, Max, our dog, had to go to the vet. Have some teeth removed. They told us 3 to 5. 3 to 5 teeth. We were like, oh man, poor buddy. 3 to 5 teeth. That's a lot of teeth to have taken out. They called us. 17.
Whoa. 17 teeth out? So dog's mouth are not cleaner than humans.
17 teeth, you guys?
Ugh.
17 teeth they had to take out.
I had 6
He's
out
gotta
one
have
time.
A different diet now.
Yeah. As a kid, and they didn't give me enough gas, and I woke up in the middle of it. So I've been traumatized
ever since.
Yeah.
Kind of dentist you have out
My
there.
Parents didn't put enough quarters in the meter.
He'll be fine.
I woke up in the middle and I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? Yeah.
It all worked out for you, though.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous about my dog that now has to go to a soft food diet. So are you guys, do you brush the dog's teeth?
No, I do not.
Okay, so I'm trying to give a PSA here, gang. We didn't brush his teeth either. We gave the dental treats. We thought, you know, the other thing you can do is you can take them into the vet and they can put them under every 6 months or every year and they can do a deep cleaning on the teeth. But we never did that. We thought we're giving him greenies and he's chewing on bones and that's supposed to help.
The dental treats only work if the dog chews them on them in a certain way.
What?
Where it's actually rubbing up against the teeth.
Yeah.
If they just kind of just
swallow
chomp,
it.
Chomp, and down the hatch.
Also,
that's not really helping anything.
Also, are teeth sort of the thing also with humans where some people just have better teeth than others?
Yes.
Like, does that apply to dogs?
Totally.
Where it's like,
I got to imagine genetics factor.
Yes. Yeah. I know people that eat candy and never have a cavity.
Yeah.
I
feel like I've seen dogs that eat absolute garbage and like the people just kind of let them do their thing and they're fine.
Well, let me ask you a question. What is worse, having 17 teeth pulled or brushing a dog's mouth? Because I got to tell you, that whole adventure to me seems very frustrating. Like, I can't even imagine getting in there and like, I can't, which is why I haven't.
I don't think most dogs are going to be receptive to you getting far in the back.
Thank you. I'm not the only one. It sounds like I'm not the only one who is unaware of this as a possibility for the dog.
Well, yesterday. I always assumed it was a possibility.
Yeah, certainly.
But I literally don't know anyone who regularly brushes their dog's
teeth. And I've never heard of a dog needing 17 rooms.
Can we put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll? Do you brush your dog's teeth? Because I can picture somebody with like a little lap dog, maybe like a Pomeranian or whatever, or a Chihuahua, getting in there and just, you know, being able, it probably takes you about, I don't know, 45 seconds. But anything bigger than that, that's an ordeal.
I know people that wipe dogs' butts. I mean, dogs are disgusting, man.
Sometimes you gotta, brother.
Oh, it makes my...
You had to wipe your kid's butt?
He did.
No, I was gonna say he did.
Yeah, I was gonna say, famously.
He did it occasionally, or once or twice, and that was it.
Yeah, I'm good. I brush my teeth sometimes.
That's about all we're going to get out of here.
Say, Miss Floss over there, how many times do you floss a week now after being reprimanded by your dentist? When you first joined the show, you said you never flossed.
Never did.
You do.
Now I do, but yeah. I use the flossers.
Yeah, those are
so
great.
So much easier. So, I mean, you had to wind the thing.
Single-use flossers.
No, not until the string breaks.
Oh, because he puts them in his pocket and uses them over
and over.
Well,
I put them in
the drawer.
The problem is this.
You want to talk about disgusting, dude.
Well, this is going to gross you out. Because I keep my shavers in there, too. When you shave the sideburns, and they get a little long. I've had to pick hair out of
the flossers.
The picks before.
You know what's crazy is a bag of flossers costs maybe $2.99.
Yeah.
Like, I was about to say, if you want to get the fancy ones, they're $3.50.
Like, so, maybe we could... collect some money here for you to buy some flossers so you don't have to use the same one over and over.
I don't think you have a leg to stand
over.
On talking about how disgusting dogs are.
You
have similar habits, too many canines.
Hey, I only had 6 teeth pulled, all right? Not 17.
You also have less teeth than
that's
the dog,
fair.
Okay? There's a percentage
that's
thing
fair.
Happening here.
You can't
as well.
Wear white, and your wife doesn't want you sitting on the bed anymore.
You know what that disgusting thing is with players? I never wore a mouthpiece. I don't know why. Don't ask me why. I never wore a mouthpiece, right? Guys never wash those things. Now, that's gross. And I've actually had, and this was a high school player, where you have to have.
Yeah.
One of the players lost his on the field and asked another DB to throw him his.
Oh.
If you want to play. Because you have to have one in high school.
You have to now because of the concussion thing, right? It's supposed to keep the jaw.
Are you putting someone else's mouthpiece in your mouth?
If the... In high school, if my option is I'm not playing or...
I'm not playing. Would you?
No. But I also will tell you that technology, again, it's a huge benefit here. I think about when I got my retainers, after I got my braces off, I got my retainers. And I'm sitting there with a toothbrush scrubbing those to keep them clean. Chase throws them into a little pot that vibrates now, and it's clean in 30 seconds.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you could do that probably with your mouth guard. You could do that with your mouthpiece. Throw it in a little vibrating pot.
Yeah, just no one ever cleaned it. Or the helmet. They'd always tell you to clean the helmet. I mean, just think how much you sweat in a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever cleaned a helmet.
Ever been in a hockey locker room?
Oh, smell.
Put those same pads on every single day.
AC and Tosa says, I brush my dog's teeth and cat's teeth once a month. Good for him.
How do you brush a cat? How does a cat sit still and let you know? Cats have attitude.
Yeah, but I mean, they're also smaller, easy to pin down.
They got claws, though.
I also think with most things, if you start doing it early, it's going to be a lot easier for a 2-month-old dog when it's 3 years old than a 3-year-old dog who you try and brush its teeth.
You know
what
else is easier? Brushing 26 teeth versus 42.
Yeah.
So you know what? Maybe this just made our jobs a lot easier. Ben weighing in saying he brushes his Bernese Mountain Dog poodle mix once a week. So I guess there are people out there who are brushing their dog's teeth.
Huh.
We were not. We have to begin. We have to start. Nothing worse than getting reprimanded by the vet, though, by the way. The vet being like, do you know how to function? Do you know how to take care of a dog? Should we take the dog away from you guys? Because clearly you're not doing all the things. So anyway, this is my PSA to you. Start brushing the dog's teeth.
I also feel like you were trying to have the vet take your dog away. Because you're famously,
we can leave
not
it.
A fan.
Can I ask a question? What was the bill?
steep.
Okay. That's why I don't have a dog.
You know
that's
what's
why I reuse my little floss pen.
The second. Oh, yeah. The
so maybe someday worst, I could have a dog.
The second worst reprimand you can get, I imagine, after the teeth thing is when they look at you and tell you the dog's overweight. And you're like, well, yeah, I gave him some table scraps. He likes french fries. What am I supposed to say? No?
Look at that face.
He's so nice.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
Let me tell you about our friends at Events by Design. Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more. You've heard me talk about some of the things that Events by Design can do, like the Buck Soiree, big, fancy, huge events, or even just adding a little touch to our event at the ESPN Milwaukee Golf Wedding with the walk-up songs. But they do the big stuff, they do the little stuff, and look, it's never too early to start thinking about that holiday party. You want to get those plans on the books, you got to get the venue booked, and you want to have somebody good who's going to throw that great holiday party that's going to boost that morale and help you retain top talent. So do that by investing in your culture today and contact Events by Design. They can help you out. No thing, no event is too big, no event is too small. They're going to be able to help you out because for over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events. Just search online, Events by Design. They design, you party.